Good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time of worship together. This morning I'm going to have a message out of the Gospel of Mark. We're going to look at that scene where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we're going to look at it in terms of our own lives and our own opportunities to serve others as a church of Jesus Christ. This is especially pertinent now because we are entering into a new church year, a time when we are called to think about what we want to accomplish in the year ahead. So it's going to be a time of reflection, a time for us to think about what we can do to serve others in a way that would make Jesus proud of us. And Alan Vest has prepared for us a song this morning entitled, I Want to Stroll Over Heaven. It's a song by Alan Jackson. I think you're going to enjoy it very much. So as we prepare now to hear God's word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for the many, many opportunities that you give us to show your love to others. We pray that we will be bold in our commitment to serve you and to serve others in your name. So we pray, Lord, that you will guide us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds and help us to hear your word. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, our message this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Verses 30 through 44. Hear now the word of the Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away, so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Jesus said, "Come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Yes, this event took place as the disciples were returning from a short mission trip. Jesus had sent them out two by two to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Apparently, it had been a successful and exhausting trip. In fact, it had been so successful that the people kept coming. They wanted more. Jesus knew how tired and hungry his disciples were, so he hustled them into the boat, and they attempted to escape the crowd. But the crowd would not be denied. They followed the boat along the shoreline, spreading the news as they passed through towns and villages, so that when Jesus and the 12 disciples finally landed, the crowd was already there waiting for them, 5,000 men along with women and children. The disciples' hearts must have sunk when they stepped out of the boat, but Jesus' heart did something else. Verse 34 tells us, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It turns out that sheep without a shepherd are a fairly pathetic sight. They are literally lost. They don't know where to find water or green pasture. They don't know when to stay put or when to move on. They can't defend themselves. Sheep without a shepherd are helpless and vulnerable. It's a curious and unsettling picture that Jesus uses here. A flock of sheep without a shepherd would be as odd as a bus full of people without a driver, or a football team without a quarterback, or a classroom without a teacher. The sight was so unsettling to Jesus that he was moved with compassion. But the disciples, on the other hand, they had a very different reaction. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Now the disciples were looking at the very same crowd of people that Jesus was looking at, but where Jesus saw a flock of lost sheep, the disciples saw just a flock of hungry people. They had been on the road for days, giving themselves in ministry to people, and they had nothing left to give, or so they thought. Now we know what that feels like. Life can be hard. Sometimes it takes all we have just to get through the day, to meet our own needs, and to care for the people we're responsible for. We know how it feels to be worn out, to be burned out. We know how it feels to have nothing left. Well, the disciples knew there was a problem, but as far as they were concerned, it wasn't their problem. Someone needed to do something, but it wasn't going to be them. And that's when Jesus thought otherwise. "You give them something to eat." This wasn't just an unexpected and unreasonable demand. It was impossible. It couldn't be done. They didn't have enough time. It was too late in the day to go off in search of food. And even if they had the time, they didn't have the money. It would take nearly a year's salary to feed all of those people. And even if they had the time and the money, it wasn't going to solve anything. The people would only want more the next day. These people needed to take responsibility for themselves. Someone needed to teach them there's no such thing as a free lunch. But then Jesus asked a game-changing question. How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. Now Jesus knew they didn't have much. He was the one who told them to take nothing for your journey. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. But he also knew that if they looked, they would find they had something. And whatever that was, it would be enough. Jesus asks the most penetrating questions, doesn't he? What do you have? We tend to focus on what we don't have. We don't have time. We don't have money. We're tired and don't have the energy. Well, you know what? Jesus isn't interested in what we don't have. All he asks of us is what we have. Jesus isn't asking us to give what we don't have. He's asking us to look again and see what we do have and then do something good with it. He'll take it from there. Now look what happens to the disciples. They think they have nothing, but when they look again, they discover they have 5 loaves and 2 fish. A ridiculously small amount in the face of such a crowd. But when they place it in Jesus' hands, something remarkable happens. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves, and then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. It says they ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken bread and fish. Now, there have been all kinds of attempts to explain this miracle. The problem with the explanations that people have tried to come up with is that everything about this story testifies to its authenticity. The vivid details are evidence of an eyewitness account. The fact that it appears in all 4 Gospels makes it one of the best attested of all of Jesus' miracles. And the fact that there were over 5,000 eyewitnesses would have made it pretty hard to pull off as a hoax. The only explanation for what happened that day is that Jesus worked a miracle, the same kind of miracle he can work with whatever we have to bring to him. If we bring what we have and do what we can, Jesus will take it from there. That's our big idea for this morning. Doing good means doing what we can with what we have, and leaving the rest to Jesus. Whenever you come to a miracle story in the Gospels, it's always helpful to ask why. We know that Jesus never wasted words or actions. He was deliberate and purposeful at every turn. Why did Jesus perform this miracle? Well, first of all, Jesus performed this miracle to bless people. Keep in mind that these people were not starving. They all had homes to go to. Most of them probably had money in their pockets. There was plenty of food in the nearby towns and fields. This was not a life or death situation. The people were just hungry, but only temporarily so. Jesus just wanted to bless these people. They were most likely peasants, most of them. Their lives were very ordinary, and sometimes their lives were probably very hard. He wanted them to know that they mattered to him and to his heavenly Father. And so he decided to do something good for them. Now, did they all understand it? Did they turn to him in repentance and faith? No, but Jesus was okay with that. He just wanted to bless them, to give them a taste of God's goodness and a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. You've got to believe they went home that day wondering who that miracle man was and what else he had to say. And that's why Jesus asks us to do good, to bless people with acts of kindness and beauty and grace. He wants us to interrupt the normal flow of their lives to let them know that they matter. And when you do something good for someone, something unexpected, something undeserved, you stop them in their tracks for just a moment, and they have to ask themselves why someone would do such a thing. In that moment, in that asking, God is able to speak into their lives and draw them just a little bit closer to him. I am reminded of the time at my home church where I worshiped when I was in Colorado. The church's name was St. James Presbyterian Church in Littleton. This was before I went into ministry myself. And one day we decided to take cold water to a parade on a hot summer's day there in downtown Littleton. We took bottled water, and on each bottle we merely put a sticker that said, "God loves you." That's all it said. God loves you. There were no strings attached. And as we handed out this free water, this free cold water to people in the crowd, many of them were hesitant to take it. They thought we expected something in return. Some would ask, "How much do I owe you?" Some would actually refuse to accept it because they couldn't believe that it was just free, that there was this free cold water with no strings attached. The message on the water bottle said simply, "God loves you." Now, just like a couple loaves of bread, a random act of kindness, that's all God needs to break into someone's life, to let them know that he's there and that he cares. That's why Jesus blessed people, and that's why he asked us to do the same. But there's a second reason that Jesus performed this miracle. There's something else going on. Jesus isn't just concerned about the crowd. He's also concerned for his disciples. He wants them to grow through this experience. That's the second reason he performs this miracle, to grow his disciples. Think about it for a moment. Did Jesus really need the disciples? Did he really need their help here? Did he say to himself, "You know, I'd love to feed this hungry mob if only I had a few loaves and a couple of fish to work with"? Well, no, of course not. Jesus was perfectly capable of feeding the multitude without the feeble help the disciples had to offer. Jesus performed this miracle and asked these 12 to help so that he could grow them as disciples. He wanted to soften their hearts so they would begin to see people as he did. He wanted to increase their faith so they would learn to trust him, even when it seemed unreasonable. He wanted to empower them for his ministry, to show them what he could do through them if they would simply make themselves available. Yes, that's what those 12 baskets were about. Notice that there was a basket for each of the disciples, a personal reminder that when we bring what we have to Jesus, no matter how little it seems, he can do more with it than anything we could ever ask or imagine. Jesus asks us to do good, to grow us as disciples too. This whole emphasis on doing good isn't just about blessing people and the world around us. It's a means by which we will be transformed more fully into Christ-like people and into a church that will be his hands and feet in the world. Spiritual formation isn't just a matter of prayer and study and worship. It's also a matter of service, charity, and good works. Doing good is exciting not only for the impact it will have on the people around us, but also for the impact it will have on us and our church. In doing good for others, we become more like Jesus. So with those ends in mind, to bless others and to grow in Christ-likeness, we launch into our new church year. Let's make this year a great year for our church. Let's live up to the sign in the narthex, which says our goals are to grow spiritually, to be the center for our community, and to share the good news of the gospel. Remember those disciples on the hillside in Galilee. Like them, we could come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't do this. But you know what? Jesus isn't interested in what we don't have and what we can't do. He simply asks us to do what we can with what we have and leave the rest to him. We are not sheep without a shepherd. No, friends, we have the greatest shepherd of all time, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us continue as we worship with music arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is a song that was written by Alan Jackson, "I Want to Stroll Over Heaven."
The storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for the favor of him beyond mortal ken, and I'm sure that he granted again. I want to show the in all the troubles and heartaches are vanished away, and we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
Our thanks to Alan for that great song. And now, friends, as we prepare for the week ahead, take a moment to think about what Jesus is calling us to do, to look at what we have that can bless others, and then let Jesus perform yet another miracle. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.